Heavenly greetings in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, the Lord be with your spirit. Thank you so much for joining us here on the University of God. You know, the University of God is all about getting the word into your heart because it's there that it becomes effective in your life. So how does the word get into the heart? And why does it need to get into the heart? Well, today we want to actually look deeper into this in a practical way, looking at the process of our believing the word of God. The Bible says in Luke 8, verse 11, that the word of God is a seed of divine life that comes into our hearts and causes faith to grow. How does that seed cause faith to grow? Well, we know that a seed can't just do any good without it being planted, watered, and left until the right time of harvest. So let's look at that in the relation to our life as believers in this world, navigating this world. How do we go through the process of believing, and how does that word of God go into our heart, and how can it actually become that seed of divine life that grows? So Racine, what can you say about the seed of divine life?
Thank you. So we are every day humbled by the Spirit of God, because the scripture says we know about. That's why anytime we read this Holy Bible, the Spirit of God always unfolds something new, because knowledge of God is deep, deeper, deepest. That's the grace of God. So sometimes we should not think that we know everything. We know our part. That's why the wisdom of God will take us to deeper, deeper level of understanding of God every day, for His ways are not our ways. What we are saying today is foundational. As He said, the Word of God is a seed of divine life that comes into our heart and causes faith to grow. What's the purpose of faith? Only faith pleases God. Whatever we receive today, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, is a pure product of God's grace. Grace, grace, grace. We all say grace, grace, grace. But grace is not automatic. We have a role to play. What is the role to play? To enjoy that grace. That's where faith comes from. Because Jesus at the cross, He laid down His life as a living sacrifice to all human beings. He shed the blood of the new covenant. He died for everyone. The question is, the fact that Jesus died on the cross for all humankind does not mean that everybody embraced the truth of the gospel of Christ. That does not mean everybody is saved.
For whosoever wills.
Absolutely. The question, how one can be willing in ignorance? How can one receive what he ignored or even ask for it? There's one biblical truth. No one can achieve and obtain what he is unwilling to pursue.
Because if you don't know you need something, you won't look for it.
If I'm not thirsty, I will not reach out to take water. I don't see any meaning for that. That's why the Bible says we come to God by faith. For me to come to God by faith, I must come to God with a purpose, with the right motivation of heart. What do I need God for? What's my greatest need? If I don't discover myself or my need for God, nothing will push me to God. Now, what is the need? You may not know it, but you can discover a need. One day, a special man came on this earth called Jesus. He began to say, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. He began to say, I entered the synagogue where everybody shared the word of God, the scroll of the book of Isaiah. They will read it every Sabbath, waiting for the Messiah to come. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. While Jesus was saying those words, all the people in the synagogue were just thinking he was just reading the scripture that everybody knows. But Jesus was fulfilling the scriptures. That scriptures were bearing witness to the one talking. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me. He was the living word. The word was talking to them. It was not a letter, but words of life was talking straight.
Naturally, they couldn't understand it.
They could not. Mm. The identification between the letter and the word speaking to them, they didn't see it. As if you were just reading that everybody read the book. Mm. Means we can read something without really believing it, without really understanding, without applying it, just for the sake of reading it. But Jesus was that promise that one day, this is the Messiah, he will come this way, and this will be the way he will talk. They said, no, it can't be him. Ah, okay, it's another person reading that every Sabbath. But he said, he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted, to open the eyes of the blind. Oh, my Lord.
To proclaim the day of salvation.
The blind he's talking about is not natural blindness. Spiritual blindness, which is ignorance, darkness. If I'm spiritually blind, how will I be able to recognize the Messiah when he comes? Am I right, Ruth?
Yeah, you won't be able to.
Don't forget what Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4. He warned his people in advance. You have seen how God took you in the wilderness and the great signs and wonders God did through the wilderness. But God has not given you yet eyes that can see and perceive, ears that can hear. That's what Moses said. Mean you don't have eyes of faith yet. So when the day Jesus came and said this verse, the Spirit of God is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to open the eyes of the blind. He finished reading. Everybody expected him to comment, because they used to comment the scriptures. He only said, today,
this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.
That's what he said. This word I've just read is fulfilled and trouble started. They're supposed to be joyful. Hey, the Messiah has come. Huh? Hey, we'll be waiting for you. Let's come. Let's go tell the whole world. They say, what? What are you saying? You. They look at him on the outside, human nature. This means they never believed. The promise of God has a time. When God gives you a promise, faith starts, right? But faith is expecting God to fulfill that promise. If we do not understand the promise in the Bible, how can you have faith? Faith is not real without a promise.
It's true.
But the question is, do we have a real spiritual understanding what the promise is all about? Because I may understand the promise in my own way. They thought, if the Messiah come, you will be a warrior, you will raise an army, and begin to set the country free from the dominion of the Romans Empire. They were waiting for the battle in the natural, but they never understood that this Messiah came to fulfill a specific promise. That promise, they were reading it every day in the Bible, but they never understood what the promise is all about. They forgot what God said to Abraham, that in your seed, all the nations of the earth, all the families of the earth will be blessed. they forgot that one. They never saw the correlation between Isaac's sacrifice and how the Messiah will offer his life. They read the Bible every day. Isaiah chapter 53 says it. They read it, but they never understood what it means. David preached Psalm 22, that he would be pierced, but nobody saw the correlation. That's why we say knowledge deals with what? The explanation, the unfolding, and the correlation of the Bible facts. That's why Jesus came to fulfill the scriptures.
You mean the first step in that process is knowledge?
Absolutely. That's what we are talking about today. The right knowledge of God settles peace. The right knowledge of God brings spiritual faith, real faith. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, while teaching in the temple, if you abide in my words, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Free from ignorance.
Absolutely. The greatest darkness is ignorance. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, the world was informed and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And there were light. Why? Because they said the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there were light. What was that light all about? Don't forget, in the synagogue, everybody has capacity to read the word and interpret it. Mm. But what was that light really, 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 really meant for? Which light are we talking about? Is it the natural light of the day? Is it the light of the sun? Certainly not. Because when we look at the progress of creation, the sun and the moon was created on the fourth day. And God said in the fourth day, this will be light to mark the time, the seasons, etc. Paul, apostle, led by divine revelation, explained to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, that God who said in the beginning, read it for us, Ruth, that will help us.
2 Corinthians 4.
Yes, from verse 6. Let's listen to Apostle Paul.
For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
You hear what she says. She says, the light of the knowledge of God. And that's the key. The light of the knowledge of God on the face of Jesus Christ. This means darkness, as you rightfully said, is ignorance. Mm. Darkness stands for ignorance. Light stands for the truth, spiritual understanding, spiritual truth. That's why Jesus said, John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. Mm. Now, when Jesus came and said those words, they did not understand it spiritually. Mm. They say, trouble started. They say, blasphemy. And Jesus, immediately, in Luke chapter 4, they wanted to get rid of Jesus and throw him to the cliff because of the word he said. Why is it we think we believe until we face real situation, we know who truly believe? We can have the word in our mouth and confess it every day. But believing is really from the heart. When Jesus was speaking, why could they not understand that this is the Messiah? Isaiah said it clearly. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, and then we unfold the message. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. Isaiah foresaw how they will react to Jesus the day he comes in their midst and begin to say, I am the Messiah. Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 9.
And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their eyes heavy and shut their eyes. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. And return and be healed.
Hallelujah. He has said it all. Wait, you're going to take it one by one because this will be the backbone of our message today. What did Isaiah say first? Let's take it one by one.
Go and tell this people,
keep on hearing,
but do not understand.
Let's wait. Means you can hear, they heard Jesus preach the message. And Jesus said, today, this word of the scriptures you have heard from prophet Isaiah, it's fulfilled. They could not what? Understand it. How? Understanding is not carnal. Understanding is spiritual. Why? Let's listen to the next sentence.
Keep on seeing, but do not perceive.
That is it. There's a difference between to see and to perceive. Ruth, I see you. You see me plainly, right? Mm. But perceive is to look through a veil. I can see through something. So our carnal knowledge, our senses are the veil, because we want to filter spiritual things through our mind. Mm-hmm. Our mind, our carnal mind, cannot perceive spiritual things. They are spiritually discerned. So we need help to be able to perceive through the fact. If they were able to perceive, they would look beyond the appearance of Jesus and see who is talking. If God gave him the grace to perceive beyond the human appearance of Jesus, they would see in him the Lord, the promised Messiah. But they could not perceive. Continue reading.
Make the heart of this people dull.
Make their heart dull means we perceive with the heart. To perceive is with your heart. Heart means spirit. Mm. Continue.
And their ears heavy.
Their ears heavy means the heart has ears, not these ears. The heart has eyes and heart has ears. Your conscience sees and perceives the word of God in your heart. Continue.
And shut their eyes.
Shut their eyes.
Lest they see with their eyes.
Lest they see. With their eyes and what?
And hear with their ears.
And hear with their heard my words in their heart. If the word of Jesus is planted in your heart, that's where Ruth said, the word of God is the seed of divine life that comes into our heart and causes faith to grow. Now, how can the word enter your heart if your heart is dull? The word can only enter my heart by revelation. Revelation means I'm able to see what is beyond the veil. Revelation sees beyond human appearance. Revelation sees who is talking, this man or the ordinary man, this is the Messiah. It takes revelation to know who Jesus is. If the heart is dull, if a heart is heavy, mean our heart, our spirit, is the instrument of God to bring revelation, spiritual understanding, spiritual conviction, and faith comes from the heart. You can see the importance of the heart. This means the word we speak are not ordinary words. For the word to give birth to what we call faith, a spiritual force, the word must alight into the right ground, not the human mind. We can reject it, but the heart that is opened to perceive the truth and to receive the word, say, yes, this is the Messiah, is my heart. With our heart we believe, not with our head. So we can read the Holy Bible with our head. It's not bad. But that's not the real soil. That's why Jesus gave us the parable of the sower. When we preach or teach, we are planting the seed of life. That seed will alight on different grounds. Maybe Ruth will help us again to go to Luke chapter 8. And let's listen to what she says.
From verse 11.
Yes, start from verse, even verse 5, 6.
Okay. Some fell on the rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground.
Thank you very much. This is what Isaiah was saying. When the heart is dull, you can never see and perceive the hidden truth. What makes the heart dull? That's what Ruth is reading now. Some fell on rocky what?
Rocky ground.
Rocky ground, when the heart is so hardened that you cannot perceive the truth. Some fell among thorns.
Thorns.
When our heart is full of mindset, bad feelings, that heart cannot see. It becomes dirty. It damages the heart. It cannot hear and understand anything. It becomes dull in comprehension, dull in revelation, completely dark. Continue, Ruth.
But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crops.
Some fell on good ground. Which is good ground? The good ground are those that are able to perceive the truth, to perceive the revelation. Not only to perceive it, but to understand it, to be convinced, to believe it and act on it. And salvation become real. Why are we saying this? We can see when it comes to spiritual things, we cannot understand them with our carnal mind. We need revelation to see beyond the facts, beyond the ordinary, the hidden truth Jesus was talking about.
And that's why the disciples even asked him, what does it mean?
Thank you very much. That's why when we hear the gospel, the word of the truth, we need to know that the soil in which the seed is planted is our heart, not our mind. Only God sees the heart. I mean, only God can open the heart. Only God can plant the seed. Ruth, let's go to verse 10.
And he said,
"To
you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Oh my God.
But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God."
That's it. Jesus said the seed is the word of God. Who planted the seed? God. Only God can plant the seed in your heart. And he said to them, "For you," verse 10, "it has been given the grace to see the mystery of the kingdom of God." Mean God has given eyes that can see, ears that can hear,
heart that can understand and believe.
That's why when Jesus called Peter, "Follow me," they left everything to follow him. Matthew, "Follow me." He left the tax booth and followed Jesus immediately. The sons of Zebedee, "Come!" They abandoned their father. They walked and followed Jesus immediately. Why?
Because their heart responded to the call.
Thank you. God gave them the gift of eyes that can see that this man calling them is the Messiah. God gave them grace beyond the fact, the human nature of Christ, to see the divine nature of Jesus. Their heart rung. Conviction came. This is the man. It takes the grace of God to have revelation. It takes the grace of God to understand. It takes the grace of God to believe. That's faith is a gift from God. We are talking about real faith, divine faith produced by God through the mighty works of the Holy Spirit. Not faith in faith with our mind, intellectual faith, but real faith. That's why Jesus said, have faith in God. Now we understand what Paul said, that these are spiritual things that we only receive by revelation. So today, the first step of this knowledge we are talking about is not a normal knowledge. If we call it divine knowledge or spiritual knowledge.
To turn the light from off to on.
Absolutely, from darkness to the light.
Yeah.
And we're able to perceive. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Means we have sense knowledge. And we have spiritual knowledge, revelation knowledge, the inwardly received truth when the Spirit of Father revealed it to you. Saul was a Pharisee who knew the law very well in the letter. Later, he received grace and mercy, as he himself said in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 to 13, that God gave him grace and mercy because he was ignorant. That's why he persecuted the church. In Galatians chapter 1, from verse 10 to 11, he said, 12, that this gospel he received by revelation from God. We need revelation, because these are things of the Spirit. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, we are all weak. We want to understand, we should approach the Bible with humility. I can learn this Bible, I can read it by heart and quote it by heart as the Pharisees did. I will just read it. But is the Bible meaningful for you? The truth hidden in the Bible, is it true for your life? And that's the question. Or when you read a storybook, that story, Ruth, is only concerned the character you are reading. But if what I read, what I'm reading, is true for my life, I begin to ask myself, this can affect my life. And I begin to appropriate that truth for my life. It can only happen if I have a spiritual understanding to say, hey, I'm convinced this is true for my life. I will apply it to my life. It will change my life. And that's what faith is all about. There is a truth in the Bible. The Holy Spirit revealed that truth to us first. He opened our eyes to see what is promised in the Word. And number two, he will come and guide us into an understanding of that truth. The understanding is saying, this is true, this is true, this is true. When understanding came, you asked another question. Wow, can it be true for me? And then Holy Ghost will come and help you. We call it conviction. Yes, it is true for you. Once your heart has the conviction of this, it's true for me, I say, I want to be like this man. I want to be like Jesus. This is my trouble. This is the answer. This is it. And that work is the work of Holy Spirit. No human being can give you persuasion. Nobody can force this truth to you. You have to go through the process. Revelation, understanding, conviction. And then conviction means faith, belief has started. This is true for me. And you apply it. You walk towards it and you receive it. But you don't start with the right knowledge of God. The right knowledge of God means the divine meaning of the scriptures you are reading. When the divine meaning came to be fulfilled that day, those in the letter rejected it. The one they were waiting for so long did not come in the way they wanted to be. It did not come from where they expected him to come. God's ways are not our ways. This means the state of our heart, the kind of knowledge we have, can resist the truth. Our heart can resist the truth. We have different types of heart. We'll talk about it later on. But today we are talking about knowledge.
So that will affect the way that the seed is planted.
Absolutely.
The state of your heart can affect how that word enters your heart and whether it grows or not.
Thank you. You have said it. You say seed and you say grow. Can you plant a seed today and reap the harvest today?
No.
Or can you take the seed in your hand and the fruit will come out from the seed? The seed must first be planted in the ground, normal seed. And then inside the ground, there's a process of transformation, right? And one day, we saw something come out of it, like this one behind me. You never come by a day. The seed, the trunk, we saw the leaves and the fruit. But it has to be planted first. Let's go to John chapter 12, verse 24. And we are going to talk about today of how the seed is planted. That's today's message.
Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain.
Who say that? Jesus. What is Jesus saying this? He says, say it again.
Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies.
Wait, falls into the ground, mean planted. When you fall to the ground, you say it dies. That's what Jesus said.
It remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain.
It has to die to produce much grain. I mean, the seed, you see, has to be decomposed like a human body. And it will bring something new. Life will come from the death of the seed. Jesus is telling us the seed we are talking about need to be transformed, changed in nature from the ordinary seed to spiritual seed. It has to cease in the natural and to be in the spirit. That's the death he's talking about. Now, where is that seed planted? That's the question. We talk about the heart. She said the word is a seed that comes into our heart. Now we know only God sees the heart. Only God can plant the seed. Now, how God will be able to plant the seed in the heart of a person? We're going to take an example. We're going to take the example of the Ethiopian eunuch, which many people know, but we're going to break it to see there's a difference of reading the Bible or memorizing the Bible and when the seed is planted in the right soil of the heart, what is the effect, what it produces? Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 8. We take it one by one from verse 27.
So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him.
Thank you. Let me just pause you 1 second. You listen to what Ruth just read today. This is what we read every day. We are going to take it step by step. The man was reading, but what he was reading was difficult for him to understand. He said, "Who is talking to me? Is it the book? Is so real what I'm reading? Is it the prophet himself talking, or is he talking about somebody? What? Won't you know?" These words was ringing in his heart. Who is he talking about? Who is this person who is suffering for others, who took away our sickness, our infirmities, who would die because of others? Who is this person? I want to know this person. He wanted to know the truth, but it was hidden for him. So anytime we read with the heart to understand, then we receive help from the Holy Spirit. We can see here that the man was reading, but he did not understand what was the real divine meaning of those scriptures he was reading. He needed help. When we read the Bible and want to know the truth, and we realize that that truth we can never get to it if we are not helped, then you begin to pray for help. If God sees that we have genuineness to know the truth, to understand the truth for salvation's sake, then the helper from above, called the Holy Spirit, will come. Let's come before. Start from verse 24.
Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of the things which you have spoken may come upon me." So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans.
Good. Now go to verse 29.
Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot."
When the man was reading, he could not understand. But the man did not give up. This is the clue of genuineness. Sometimes you read something, it doesn't make any meaning for me. Drop it, I'm all right.
But he continued reading.
Let's continue reading. Because I want to understand. I want to know what this man called Jesus is saying. I read the Bible, I don't understand. I read the Old Testament, it looks strange for me. But this man did not give up. He knew this. There is something he could not understand. Who will help me? So when he was continuing to read, God, who is invisible, immortal, omnipresent, located the heart of this man. Holy Spirit saw him. When you are reading in your dark, in your house, wherever you are, if you read with sincerity to know the truth, with humility,
with forgiveness.
Asking God with forgiveness, "Lord, this, I can't understand it. Please help me. I want to know this. I don't want to reject it, but help me to understand it." Holy Ghost saw it, and immediately the Spirit, what did the Spirit say? 29.
"Go near." Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot."
Then the Holy Ghost instructed Philip, the right person, to go and help this man to understand what he was reading. Revelation can come by you alone, but God can send somebody to give you the word of life. God sent Jesus to enter the synagogue. When he was preaching, we saw people's heart was hardened. But this man, his heart was not hardened.
His heart was a good soil.
His heart was a good soil. It was ringing. He wanted to know, wanted to understand. When we are humble, revelation is a language that only humility can understand and receive. If we say we know everything, we can never get to the state of realm of revelation. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 5, "I came here for two sorts of judgment. That those who cannot see
shall can't be see
if they are humble. But those who say, 'I can see, I'm not interested,' they will remain blind forever." Continue reading.
So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?"
Thank you. This means the work of the Holy Spirit in the process of salvation at first begins with the understanding. The fact that you heard something does not necessarily mean you have spiritual understanding of it. They heard Jesus in the synagogue clearly, but they never understood what it meant for them. They have their own interpretation of the scripture or their own mindset. But Jesus came for a purpose. They forgot that man, he came to establish the kingdom of God in our hearts. He came to strike the root of all trouble. The promise God made to Abraham was not the land. That promise was that all the families of the earth will be blessed in the seed of Abraham. What was that blessing? They never understood what that blessing means. The blessing of Christ, as Paul will explain later in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, is the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of eternal life, the kingdom of God in our heart. But they never understood what it meant. And they begin to look at Jesus in the natural and to fight him. Blasphemy! This is not what we're waiting for. This is not what we expect. That's why we need to humble for God to reveal to us the divine meaning of the Bible. Because no one can apply rightfully the word of God if you don't have revelation, understanding of it. Now we ask him, do you understand what you
are reading?
What did he say?
How can I unless someone guides me?
What humility. He never said, yes, I understand. How can I unless I receive help? That's humility.
That means it's not our education or our mental ability to understand or read that can help us divinely understand the word of God.
That is, we presume to know whether we know nothing. That's why the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, the things of the Spirit are indistinct. It takes the spirit of revelation to receive it. The natural man, the carnally minded person, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, cannot receive the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness for him. They can only be spiritually discerned. What we are saying here, why do we need revelation? Facts we can see, but truth, spiritual truth, need to be spiritually discerned.
And that's how we can become mature as believers, if that's what the University of God is all about.
We need to have faith in the divine meaning of the Bible. We all know we are humans. We are human beings. We have different kind of denomination, different types of interpretation of the Bible. You just go to internet and type something. You see different interpretation. You don't know which one to take, which one to do. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the spirit of understanding, Isaiah chapter 11. He's the spirit of revelation, Ephesians 1:17. He's the one that revealed the gospel to Paul. It is the Holy Spirit that opened the hearts of Lydia, Acts chapter 16, verse 14, to hear the message. This is what I'm going to talk about. I'm not talking about personal revelation at this time. I'm talking about somebody who's preaching the word of life. Your heart must be open by God to receive the word straight into your heart. They're going through the process of personal revelation. Jesus was speaking to them directly, but they rejected him. They looked at the natural and did not receive his word. In this case, this man was reading. He needed revelation by himself. But God said, I will send Philip to speak to him. Philip said, do you understand what you are reading? Why do we need understanding? I'm asking that question.
If we don't have understanding, what we know cannot actually sink into our heart. It can't remain there. It will just remain in the mind.
Okay. Now.
It will not be a benefit to us if we don't understand it.
Right. If I come and say, Ruth, wow, the good news, I heard that tomorrow there's a free ticket to go to America for everybody who ordered this product. You freely go to America, don't ask your visa, you go there for free tomorrow. I gave you that news. The question is, do you believe what I said? Or do you want to find out what I said is true? Will you act on what I said immediately? Will you?
I probably have to find out if it's true.
You need to find out the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, everything we have, we need to find out the truth from God's point of view. There is fact and there is truth.
Mm.
There are conditions to be met. Everything we hear on earth has conditions. What are the conditions to qualify for that? That's the knowledge we need to find in the Bible. The conditions for salvation are clearly stated in this Bible. And one of the conditions is faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 6 to 17. Mm. And faith comes by hearing the message. Mm. And believing the message with our heart. Now the question, how can I accept a revelation, a knowledge, if I don't understand it? They couldn't accept Jesus saying, because they couldn't understand it. This man say, I'm reading it. I'm trying to understand. That's why we say, faith comes when the word prevails over the thinking processes.
Mm.
Faith is not an intellectual acknowledgement. It is a spiritual thing to be discerned spiritually. Now for the word to prevail in our mind, we try to think. We cannot find it. It's difficult to understand by intellectual faculties. That's why we need revelation to come. When revelation comes, it comes directly into the right ground of the heart. So this guy, Philip, came and spoke to his heart. Now, the word can enter your heart. And if you don't understand what happened,
it would what? It would not grow. It would not produce roots.
Very good. Why? That's the question. The word can enter the right ground and never produce. There's some seed you put on the ground, but you never bear seed. Why? It lacks something necessary. It needs to be watered.
Mm.
We water the seed when we meditate on the seed in order to understand the divine meaning hidden in that seed, the divine meaning. That means I don't reject something I heard. I want to find out whether it is true or not.
And that's what the Ethiopian eunuch did.
That's what he was doing.
Mm.
He did not reject it. He was loudly speaking, meditating, trying to find out. And meditation attracts the attention of the Holy Spirit of revelation. When the Holy Ghost saw this man, he instructed Philip, go and speak to this man.
Mm.
That's the same thing that happened to Cornelius, a foreigner, who in his heart was hunger for righteousness. God located him and sent an angel to him. The angel said, we have heard your prayers and your alms you give to the poor. Call for Simon Peter to come and tell you something. This means when a preacher comes, he's preaching the word of life sent by the Holy Spirit to you. And he's the only one that can speak words of life that will enter your heart straight.
Mm.
When an anointed person is speaking to you, God is speaking through him. And that word is life will enter your heart straight. The question is, will you receive it as such, being the word of God? The question is, do you understand the meaning of it? I can never receive what I do not understand. So first, knowledge must come. After knowledge comes, understanding must come. Right. When he asked him, do you understand? How can I understand unless somebody help me?
Hmm.
What did he say after?
And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him.
Now, to show his willingness, come. Philip never forced himself to enter. He said, please come and explain to me. Maybe you're the one to help me. Knowledge has to come with explanation. Or unfolding by revelation. But he stood by revelation, explaining to him. What happened? Let's read.
The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter,
mm-hmm.
and as a lamb before its shearer is silent.
Mm-hmm.
So he opened not his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
In his humiliation, his justice was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And who will declare his generation? for his life is taken from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this?
Thank you.
Of himself or of some other man?
Can't you understand? Who is he talking about? He understood, but who is the person? Who is he talking about? Continue.
Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
You see the connection? Do you understand? And after he said, do you believe?
Mm.
No one can understand. No one can understand what he has not received by revelation. And no one can believe what he does not understand.
So that's the process of believing.
That's the process. Knowledge must come first. Then understanding must come first. And that understanding will give birth to conviction that, yes, it is true for me. And then you can believe it to act on it. What did he say after?
Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him.
Yes.
Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water.
Uh-huh.
And the eunuch said, see, here is water.
Wait, this is where I want to come. Who told him the meaning of water baptism? Philip must have told him about Jesus. Philip must have laid down the condition for salvation. And when the man saw the water, he was the one that asked for it.
Mm.
Philip never said, do you want to be baptized? The man said, I want to be baptized.
Yeah,
because he was convinced that this is true. Continue, Ruth.
See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?
Yes.
Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may.
Thank you. The only thing that can hinder you from being baptized is lack of faith. It's act of faith. Faith is a conviction of the heart. For that baptism to have a meaning before God, you must mean it by faith and believe with all your heart.
Mm.
What hinders me? He said, if you believe, say it again.
If you believe with all your heart, you may.
With all your heart, you may. That's what he said. The question is, who sees the heart of the man? God. This means baptism of water, with Holy Ghost baptism, all baptism must be act of faith.
Mm.
You must have the revelation of the truth necessary to be baptized. You must believe it is true for your own life. You must be convinced, and then faith comes. It's the act of faith. And when you do it, God will fulfill the promise of salvation. That's the process. We are seeing the importance of knowledge, revelation knowledge. Two people can hear the same message. One remain indifferent. Another person say, ah, I want to receive salvation.
Because the state of their heart is different.
Absolutely. An evangelist may preach a message and call people to embrace Jesus. Some people stay in their seats. Mm. Some people's heart are cut by the message in their heart.
Mm.
And they're wrong. Jesus, that's by faith. And salvation comes. And the Spirit of God comes. Their life will never be the same. It's the state of our heart.
Mm.
There is a veil in our heart. The veil that hinders us is the veil of ignorance. It can only be pierced by revelation. You can see through the divine meaning. When you perceive the divine meaning and understand it, then we act faith and then we receive the promise of God in our lives.
Mm.
So knowledge, spiritual knowledge, spiritual understanding, and then conviction. Ruth, can we read 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. This simply means the Bible will not make any difference to you unless you have spiritual understanding on it to act on it. When a pastor or a man of God preaches a message, you just see a nice message. It will not make any difference unless your eyes are open to have a spiritual understanding of it and apply it in your life. Yes.
For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
You hear that? That you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. With what?
All wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Wisdom and spiritual understanding. The will of God comes by revelation. That's the divine meaning in the Bible. That's the promise of the Bible. You must have a spiritual understanding of it. And when the spiritual understanding comes, conviction comes, and wisdom will lead you to apply it, to get salvation and to receive the promise of God in your life. So what are we saying today? There is perfect knowledge, complete knowledge in the Holy Bible. There is a hidden truth. There are facts, there are stories, there are letters. But the Word of God, when it comes into our heart, at the point of revelation, the Word becomes spiritual. The spiritual meaning of the Bible comes to our heart by revelation. And that's the life of the seed in that word. When it becomes revelation spirit, only then the Holy Ghost will use it to bring spiritual understanding. He will give you light. The light of understanding will come. When you have the light of understanding, say, yes, it is true for my life. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 5, let everyone be convinced in his own heart. That conviction is an opinion from your heart called belief. That's where belief starts. And only what you believe you can express by faith and to receive the promise of God in your life.
That's why it has to be planted in your heart. Because
absolutely.
It's only when it's planted in your heart that nothing will change your mind about what you believe.
Absolutely.
Because your belief is not based on how you feel or the circumstance around you, but it's based on something that's planted deeply in your heart. You believe because you understand a spiritual truth.
You can only plant it in your heart by revelation through the Holy Spirit. And that will lead you to spiritual understanding and conviction and you act faith. Thank you. So, what does this compel in our lives? We should approach the Bible with humility. We should not be quick to take something for granted or to reject it. We should look deep enough. Discovery is for forward lookers. The Ethiopian eunuch was a forward looker. Beyond the facts, he wanted to know the hidden truth. He continued to dig deep, to ask, until the Holy Spirit came, revelation came, and the veil was removed from his heart, and he perceived the truth that this was not a prophet. This is the somebody who came to die for him, to bring salvation, to take over his curse, and bring healing and salvation. And Peter, that person you don't know is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God. He came, went to the cross, took away all our sins, all our curses, and died for every human being by shedding the blood, redemptive blood of Jesus. Everyone who believes in him will receive the forgiveness of all his sins and receive everlasting life. He was convinced. He believed and he embraced salvation forever. In Jesus' name. So, our earthly understanding knowledge must give way to spiritual enlightenment, revelation, to come to maturity of faith. Not faith in my mind, but divine faith, faith in God. And that faith can only happen with the working power of the Holy Spirit. At the first stage, Holy Ghost will bring revelation by opening our eyes to see the promise. And when our eyes are open, he will take us to next step, understanding. Take us to other step, conviction, faith. So we are going to talk about this, the next step, spiritual understanding.
So stay tuned for this series. This is part one in the series, all about knowledge, which is the first step of the process of believing. So make sure that you stay tuned for the rest of this series. Why are we talking about this? Because we want to make sure that the light is turned on in your heart, because it's that light which needs to be there for you to understand the Word of God and for the Word of God to go deep into your heart, to be planted, to be watered, to be steadfastly trusted. And that's when the fruit will be evident in your life. And that is what will make a difference.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Stay blessed. Whatever you read in the Bible, continue to ask God What is the meaning of it? If you read a parable of Jesus, which seems difficult to understand, like the Ethiopian eunuch, look deep enough. Continue to meditate. Meditate, asking God, what's the meaning? Help me, Holy Spirit. As Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Helper will come, Holy Ghost, He will guide you into the fullness of the truth. Mm. In John 16, verse 12, He says, I have many things to say, but you cannot understand them now. But when He comes, the Spirit of understanding will take you to spiritual understanding of my words. Stay in faith, remain in faith, and be blessed in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you.
The Lord be with your spirit.